It's carried unanimously, thank you. So now, Tonsley Greenway. Now this was one where, I must admit, when I saw the route that was marked out on the map, as a cyclist, I had a question, and interestingly we've heard a question asked by Katie Gilfillan speaking to us this evening as well. Councillor Pfeiffer, are you interested in a deferral, or are you moving, yes, to a month next year, a meeting in March next year?
Yeah, look, I'd suggest, I was thinking earlier one of January, but let's not chunk that up with extra stuff, so maybe one of the February meetings.
Let's say to adjourn to February 2019. Is that seconded?
And add it to a forum discussion as well. Is that possible with that time scale?
March, try and have an informal discussion about it, would be helpful. So, a motion is to adjourn it to March 2019. Seconded, Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. The walking and cycling guidelines. We had a good discussion, in my opinion, the last council meeting when this came up. It has been substantially improved. It's a lot less dogmatic than it was. There were a couple of improvements taken on board when I chatted to Dr. Grimm about the draft of this report when it first came out. For example, putting in a reference to our imminent four-year plan rather than the three-year plan, which was referred to in the previous version of this. I only have one concern, which I would be interested to hear about from members, and that is the section on public art, because in my view it's something that we haven't done well, and you'll see it there on page 209 as one of the strategies. I suppose I just don't see it as integral to walking and cycling guidelines as some other people do, but you heard from Katie Gilfillan that she was in favour of it. Over to you, members, as to what you want to do with it. First of all, if there are any questions. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, so my question is just, is there a checkpoint so that, for me, I'd rather see the infrastructure built rather than the art or the niceties added extras. If we do get a design for a new section, do council get a chance to look at the cost assigned to each of those applications, so we might be able to choose a longer path or cycling way rather than half the money going on a bit of public art?
Through the chair, the intent is to scope the project and bring to council a concept design, which would obviously illustrate where the expenditure would be curtailed in that scope of work, which should obviously, if it does include public art, illustrate that as part of the concept work.
Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I've got a few questions. The first one, this report seems to refer a lot to the how, and not as much as I'd like to the what. In terms of, and I've been talking a little bit to Mr. Lyons about how we structure things in the city in terms of, rather than just picking, we said about it before with the streetscaping, rather than just picking a route and saying, well, that, you know, traffic needs to go, or cyclists need to go from here to there, looking at what the places on the way that people might want to go to, like schools and shops and all those other things, and how we actually integrate those into our walking and cycling routes, I think that would be really, really handy. I know that's a massive body of work, but looking at where, rather than just saying, look, you know, the Mike Turner bikeway goes from here to here, and we're going to make it so that it doesn't, there's no places across the road, or there's places across the road, or safer cycling tracks. More so looking at how we can value add this in terms of, you know, like, oh, it goes within 100 metres of a primary school, so let's have a little cutout that goes to the primary school and then back onto the bikeway. So I like the report. I think that there's more to be done in this space. So I guess I'm just after a bit of a comment as to how we're looking with that. I mean, are we progressing that at all, or have we we haven't really gone too far into that area.
And just while Dr. Grimm's getting ready to answer that, I just draw members' attention to page 219. So that's the closest thing I think we have in the document to an order of priorities about the potential routes that might be looked at. Dr. Grimm, as to that process. Thanks.
In terms of, I guess, the integration of the network, we've obviously mapped the extent of the network and looked at how it does connect to schools and community facilities, etc. The next layer of detail would be around the scoping of those actual project streetscape / walking cycling network in terms of actually the actual locality and wayfinding mechanisms and so forth. So the actual detail gets resolved from the guidelines.
Yeah, it does make sense to me to look at the major destinations, major routes, and then as you plan one of those in detail, look at what the opportunities are. But
yeah,
does
I guess
require anything else?
It does, like a little bit. It does, but I mean, if there's a major route which dodges three primary schools, and that major route needs to change to sort of capture those three primary schools, then maybe that needs to be part of the consideration.
Sounds like that might be the next level down of so that. When you pick out one of those routes on page 219 and then look at what it goes near, that's where you might have that variation. And indeed with the Tonsley Greenway route, that's probably a good example, because the suggested route is certainly not the only way of achieving the objectives. And it depends how much you value those detour opportunities or ease of transition, whatever. Anything else, Dr. Grimm, on that? Yep. Councillor Hull, question?
There's, first of all, a comment. Years ago, we did a bicycle study with Holfast Bay. I can't remember the name of the consultant, but the terminology was used with trip generators. That's pretty much what it's called, and that's what Councillor Price was alluding to, is identifying those trip generators so you know where the greatest demand is or what our priority should be, and that's fair enough. But getting onto the public art, now, I think there's a place for public art, no doubt about it. But in terms of the $200,000 we dedicate each year to bikeways, it's the current schedule anyway of financing, how much money does it cost for the public art? Like, are we talking about $200,000 for bikeway and $50,000 for public art, which means we're really only spending $150,000 on the bikeway? So can I get an answer to that question?
Through the Chair, we wouldn't have that information here. We are coming to Council at a future forum to discuss public art, and we can get Council's feedback and direction on what percentage of the capital works you'd like to see as part of going towards public art. But for individual sections of the walking and cycling, we can take that on notice and get that back to Council.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I know public art doesn't come cheap. It's an expensive item. Artists command a price for public art, albeit that it might be a painting on a pavement or some chains that emulate a person running. But it does cost money. And my $50,000 comment wasn't a flippant one. I think I was probably around the mark. And it does worry me that that's eating into our priority, and that is bikeways. Is there not another question I should ask? Is there not another pot of money or grant money that we can actually get for the public art and allow us to actually do as much as we can with the money we have for bikeways?
Yeah, sometimes we do get grant funding from Arts SA.
That's right.
So I'm sure staff are onto those opportunities. But otherwise it comes from a public art budget, I presume.
There is a public art budget, but it is not a large budget from memory. I think it's about 10... It's quite a small budget, and as the Mayor indicated, we seek grant funding to deliver public art projects. I think also the advantage of considering what funds Council wants to put to that, the important part is to, if Council wants to include public art as part of these projects, it's best to include it at the beginning, so it's fully integrated into it, and you get the best return on the art and how it relates to the infrastructure.
Mr. Mayor, two more questions. One is, if we need more money, let us know. Bring it back to us. What we need to actually provide a realistic bikeway program, And we are rolling this out. Like, it's taken years to get to where we are, and we've got years to go. So let us know how much money is appropriate so we can actually start budgeting for this, along with the public art. The other question I've got is trying to get our head around, in Adelaide at least, about commuter bikeways. Now, overseas, people ride bikes to work in numbers. They don't have to get off their bike to cross a road or go through a chicane. I'd like to see us starting to anticipate proper commuter bikeways. Where
is it, is a question, or this, well, is really debate?
No, it's a question whether we can start anticipating and planning for a commuter bikeways that are actually designed to get people to and fro efficiently on bikes, as they do overseas.
Well, perhaps I could ask Dr. Grimm, to what extent do the guidelines here do just that?
There are typologies as described within the guidelines which explain the techniques around the installation of the infrastructure. There has recently been a commuter bike path constructed as part of the Tonsley precinct on Tonsley Boulevard, which is to continue around the MAB. So the city is starting to develop some of those strategies and infrastructure elements. There's opportunity too, yes.
Questions, Councillor Telfer?
Given on page 219, the priority is high on so many projects, the Marina Rocks Greenway, Sturt Linear Park's nearly finished, it says, upgrade remaining ones, but the big one, the Coast Park upgrade along the foreshore, working with the state government on the boardwalks all the way down to Hullock Cove. How do we prioritise and how do we give appropriate resources for so many high priorities?
Dr. Grimm or Ms. Dixon?
Through the Chair, we continue to work with state government and try and align where our priorities are and where they are, because then the chance of attracting partnership funding is higher as well. But it is a significant plan for the whole of the city. So, we continue to monitor where the opportunities are. For example, the work that's happening around Flinders Link and Tonsley, that's where our priorities are directed at the moment. Does that answer your question, Councillor Telfer? Yeah.
Any final questions? Then after someone to move, Councillor Telfer?
I'll move as per the motion, particularly noting that grant funding opportunities arise. We often get one-to-one funding with the state government. We have won this many occasions because we've been ready. We have committed resources, have an overall plan, structure, direction. We have a lot of work to do along the foreshore, along the coast walking trail. We have a lot of work to do to link our major commuting trails, as was alluded to. We also have work to do on shared pathways throughout our city. They are laid out there. There are several of them. We hope that this all goes forward successfully.
Is that seconded, Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to second this. I think this is definitely something that we need to work on going forwards. It's probably the next great challenge for this council, after we sort out a few supporting hubs, to really get this network up and running and getting people out of their cars and onto the walking and cycling paths.
Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put a motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. I won't call on those policy review items. We can just leave them for the moment. But Westminster College on page 252, that is somewhat time sensitive. So perhaps I could just have a couple of words from staff, Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair, so this is a development application that the Westminster School have submitted into SCAP, who are the relevant authority to do the planning assessment. It's a $30 million development, which is looking to install two more buildings, two three-storey buildings, which are described as an innovation learning hub. There's also library spaces as well. So the school's looking to improve its facilities and amenities for its school community, and council is a adjacent landowner. We do own a small parcel of land, so it's council's opportunity to submit any feedback it wishes to.
So I would just like to add to that that and it's probably helpful, I don't know how you get the numbering on the lift outs, but on the back of the first lift out, at least on the hard copy, there's a Westminster School, Hayball, Brown Falconer preliminary. It's got page 257 actually at the top of it. Oh yeah, that's our agenda, page 257. You get an idea there of where this building's situated. Look, it is a big block. If it was on a main road, you'd think it might be a bit cumbersome, whatever. But the reality is that there are one, possibly two houses that might have some impact in terms of the visual impact. And as against that, it's next to an existing big school block. So it's not really a drastic change to the landscape from that perspective. So that was the first thing I looked at, you know, what impact is it on neighbouring residents? But it doesn't look too bad to me, so I was comfortable with the motion. Anyone someone to move? Councillor Hutchinson moved. No further comment. Councillor Pryor seconded. Nothing further. Anyone against? And I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. That's true. So what could we put there? Now, review of confidential items. It's another matter that we want to deal with this evening. There were a couple of items which Councillor Telfer picked out. So could somebody just take us through, perhaps Ms. Blakes or someone take us through the suggestions of Councillor Telfer?
Essentially, the motion that Councillor Telfer has put forward is to move all of the items on block. So the 109 of the 111 reports, to move them as printed in the agenda, and then reports 106 and 107 of the agenda to alter the recommendation to be 106 is released with the individual names and staff redacted, and then number 107, that the report and attachment to and the minutes be released with the names redacted, but the appendix 1, which includes various statements and things, to remain confidential in the confidential order, to remain over just that part of the item.
If we need to discuss the detail, we can go into confidence, but otherwise I'll just give you some advice on that. This would be the last really time-sensitive motion. If people were willing to move the corporate reports for noting on block, possibly we could deal with those quickly, but Hallett Cove Seapool might get a bit of discussion. That's the problem. Maybe we'll just do this one then. So until this item's completed.
I ask a procedural question?
Yes.
The leader of the meeting or would like to get to the Marion Golf Club one?
It's a fair point.
Made his deputation, and we would have normally done that one first.
Well, Councillor Pfeiffer, rather. No.
It's really a progress report.
So it's only a matter of whether members wish to deal with the golf club room since we had the deputation.
Yeah.
But it's not actually urgent, apart from being, you know, for 10 years it's been urgent.
So it's just the confidential items in Marion Golf Course then?
Yes.
As time sensitive.
Yes.
I'll move that we extend to the end of those two items.
Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, all those in favour, then we'll, that's unanimous, so we'll extend to finish those two items. Now, this is about the confidential items, Councillor Hull, your call.
Yeah, I'm just going to seek some guidance from you, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Jamie Thwaites is well aware of my concerns about this, and I don't know whether I've got a conflict of interest by actually being in the room when it's discussed. But
well, let's deal with that question first. I'm sitting right back from this one. Ms. McKenzie, what's your view on a potential conflict of interest?
Through the Chair, if members are going to receive a benefit or a detriment from releasing the information, then those that should preclude themselves from the discussion. If they're pulled out separately, then we can continue on with them en bloc and then deal with that item on a different matter.
Well, I'd suggest there'd be no actual or material conflict, but there might be a perceived conflict if a member might have their name published as a result of one of these matters being revealed.
This is the point, and I'm only looking for some natural justice in terms of what's released, because I just think that release the lot or nothing, that's my view, Mr. Mayor, and ask people whether they're happy with having their name released as we do normally, and that hasn't been done.
Right, so you're foreshadowing that you oppose the motion as printed.
Well, I'm not sure what Councillor Telfer is going to move, but normally, if we're actually going to release reports, we actually pay the courtesy to ask people, are you happy about...
We do with people external to Council.
That's right.
That's but not true. Why is it different in this case, Ms. Blakes?
We consult with people when we are proposing to release the items, as the recommendation originally was to retain the confidentiality. They weren't consulted because we weren't going to release it on the recommendation. The motion is to release the item with the names redacted, so their names aren't being released.
Councillor Hull, does that answer your concern?
Well, it does, but it sort of looks like sort of drip feeding enough information out there to create a story, and the whole story should be told. That's the point we're making.
I have to leave that for the debate, I think. Councillor Telford, did you want to move the motion since you suggested some amendments?
I'll move as per on the screen. The reason that I went back and looked at number 106 and 107 was because it suggested that they could be redacted. I did read them thoroughly and got hard copies of them highlighted, and realised that it was perhaps better to bring 106 and 107 forward and let them become closed items as such, rather than wait another year before that material was released out in the public. It was very obvious to me that the items were important items and that we didn't want to be infringing on people's personal lives. But on the other hand, this information has heavily been in the media and has been released in other ways. So why were we keeping secret what is already not secret? So it's time to let 106, 107 die. However, 108 and 109 were peppered with people's names, peppered with details, and quite tacky to take bits in and out of. So in the end, I had to say, let's leave it a year and revisit those 108, 109 in a year. So that was my thinking.
Thank you. And I'll just remind members that we can't go into the details unless we go into confidential session. Councillor Costin had a question.
Yeah, look, I agree with some of the points raised by Councillor Hull, and it doesn't seem like we're following the normal process. So my question is, if we leave it confidential this evening, can it be revisited in less than 12 months? So when the proper homework has been done, the questions have been asked, can we, say, bring it back in February with a separate motion?
That's what we did 4 years ago when there were some items that required consultation, and we... I think we left it the Chief Executive at the time to say, well, when that decision, when people have been consulted, if they're okay, then just release it. So we're left at the moment with a motion. Is it seconded? Last chance. Then, seconded. It's not an option, you don't have to, but Councillor Valescu, seconded. Do you wish to speak? Anyone speaking against? Councillor Crossman.
Can I move an amendment, which is back to the original motion, those wordings, please, instead? So not to release those two items, but just release the original recommended.
Yeah, look, it's a variation of the same thing. I'll allow the amendment and we'll test that. I'll ask if the amendment is seconded, which effectively reverts it back to the original staff recommendation. No. It's to not disclose those items.
By moving that way, Your Worship, then if a member does wish to have those items released in February, they can give advance notice and get that consultation completed first.
It's possible. The question is whether the amendment is seconded. Councillor Pfeiffer, any discussion? Then I'll put the amendment straight away. All those in favour? Those against? The amendment is carried. That becomes the motion, and if any member hasn't yet spoken, they can still speak. Take it for or against. If there are no more speakers, then the mover, oddly enough, gets to close the debate. Councillor Telfer.
I can see the counter-reasoning, and I accept that this could move forward.
Then I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Those against? Carried by a majority. Thank you. So now, really just because we had the expectations raised by the deputation, we'll go to page 541 and just deal with the golf club room facilities. So you've had a pretty good explanation from Mr. Young. Another one of those facilities around the council where people have been expecting council to do something for years. We tried to get state government contribution, didn't eventuate. In this case, there's quite a substantial contribution from the golf club itself and the managers of the golf club, Belair Turf. Over to members. Anyone to move? Councillor Crossland.
I'd like to move as printed, Your Worship.
Wish to speak further?
Just very briefly, Mr. Young put it really eloquently. I, when I first saw this predicament, again, it was one of those legacy issues which we never expected to keep finding. I was amazed that they have actually decided that by sitting quietly they would get the club rooms delivered, which, as we have seen, they sat quietly for 13 years and nothing's happened. I think that even if we'd invested something like $20,000 a year, they would now be getting this funding, which is about what it adds up to. If members are considering whether or not they should invest in this project, I would ask them to have a look at the facilities they're currently in, and I commend this motion as printed to members for that reason.
Yes, I'm very pleased to second this motion. I also again thank Councillor Crossland for a fair bit of legwork with the club over the last period of time at least, and just remind people that we haven't many golf courses in the city of Marion, and there's also the fact that we hopefully will have a dramatically rising population just next door. In not too many years' time, or it will commence to rise. So we should take that into account as to the appropriateness of the investment in this case. Mm. And it's a great place. I have actually played there. It's a wonderful place to play it. But anyone who plays golf and hasn't, please visit. It's a great experience.
Councillor Pfeiffer had a question.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Look, we can see on page 542 that there was an Office of Rec and Sport grant attempt back earlier this year, and that one was unsuccessful due as it was highly competitive and oversubscribed. The other one was the 2015 federal grant. Do we know A, what the grant was, and B, why we missed out on it?
We have Mr. O'Hanlon coming forward to provide some information. While he's doing that, did you notice that Mr. Young was wearing two pairs of trousers? It's because, in case he had a hole in one. right, Mr. O'Hanlon.
Through the chair, sorry, we don't know what the actual funding round was as such. That was before my time, and unfortunately the club has quite had a turnover of members in that period of time. But they just have documentation that they applied for around about $125,000 for club improvements.
Councillor Hull had a question.
Speaking against the motion.
Speaking against the motion, sure.
Mr. Mayor, I remember quite clearly our former CEO declaring an absolute coup down there on that site where we've managed to outsource this golf course with no more financial responsibility. The Belair, is it Belair or people, they're going to take it over and, you know, do this and that, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, that's not the case, clearly. And there was no promise of providing a club room. I've got the motion here that Councillor Telfer made back in 2006, seconded by Councillor Bowens, and it was basically to give them a 12-month lease. We haven't looked after them a bit, and there's been this promise. Show me the promise. Show me any documentation where that club's been led to believe that we're going to provide a club room. Because what we did, where it's been misunderstood, was we pulled down the original club rooms and we gave them the demountable for their club room. And then they were going to do everything else themselves. But the membership has dropped. And the other thing is that our citizens can't go and use it unless you fork out money. Now, we have this concern about tennis courts. This is on a grander scale, so it's a $110 membership. Few aren't prepared to pay that. But then on top of that, we're going to pay $330,000 to this. Now, the other thing I observed tonight, down in Councillor Crossland's part of the world, we've got a total bill tonight of $551,000. Now, you know, fair suck of the sausage here. Like, you know, we might have some new members that we might be able to impress to actually throw their hands up because they want to do the right thing. But this is a bit concerning, particularly when Councillor Croslin's looking for cost savings and economies all over the place and outsourcing staff, and but we'll quickly put our hand up tonight for $551,000 worth of expenditure. Now, and the point that I was going to make with the Marino Hall, if Councillor Croslin wanted to actually propose doing something proper there, and let me tell you, the membership attendance at that hall is misleading, because if they had a proper facility, a lot more people would be going there. I would actually vote for it, but I cannot support this because I know the history. Councillor Telfer knows the history. And not only that, people remember Kiyonga. They remember Kiyonga and indulgences, and golf is not really sexy and it's not really acceptable and it's not going to pass the pub test, because they should have got on with it and done something decent with this golf course, and they didn't. And we've already helped them once. They got the bore fixed for nothing, and that wasn't part of the lease. I proved that some time ago, even though some people say I was wrong, but I think I was right. So, you know, they've had a fair go, and I'm not happy about $330,000 being spent on a fairly exclusive golf course where you have to pay $110 or pay for fees to use to ground. So, look, I'm happy to give Councillor Croslin's area a fair go, but I think we've been pushing the boundaries tonight with the amount of money that he actually wants to spend tonight. Prioritise. Look at, if you want Marino Hall done up, I will support that. You know that. I don't know whether the lights were in there, but Councillor Pryor asked the question, is this going to be the place where we're focusing our attention at Hallett Cove for sport? You know, we're throwing money all over the place, and we're not really prioritising. So I'm willing to give that area a fair go. I want to prioritise, and I want to have a better explanation about the golf, because I haven't seen the evidence where we've promised to provide them with. It would be a major project. It would be on our radar. You know, when in the last term did we talk about a golf club rooms for this place? We didn't.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. It does raise a couple of questions. Would this be about the cheapest golf course in a metropolitan city in Adelaide? $110 a year seems
through the chair, yeah. Yes, it would be, but just some clarification in regards to some of the conversation and clarification. Any member of public can attend the Marion Golf, walk off the street and have a game of golf there for $12. It's $12 for 9 holes, and for $18 they actually get unlimited use, which means they can play 18, 36, they can stay there for the entire day. If they wanted to join the Marion Golf Club, it costs $110. But if somebody just wanted to walk in off the street and use that golf club, it would cost them between $12 to $15, and they can actually hire golfs and caddies for an additional $12 for the entire day. So yes, it would be one of the cheapest ones. For clarification, Adelaide Golf Links, which is run by the Adelaide City Council, their casual fees are around about $35 for 9 holes.
So how is it different from, say, residents who want a game of night owls bowls at a bowling club on a council facility, or, for example, a team of friends who wants to go and play a basketball at Marion Leisure and Fitness? Presumably they pay a casual fee to use the facilities?
Through the chair, absolutely correct, and the same as somebody who wants to go for a swim at the Marion Outdoor Pool, they'll pay $5, $6, $7, and if they want to go on the water slide, they'll pay a couple extra bucks.
As against that, I should say, for the benefit of new members, that one of the things, one of the Mayor's innovations that hasn't survived the withering effect of parochial political aspirations is 3 or 4 years ago we were having these debates at council where a member would come in and champion this project, champion that project, then there'd be another one. So we're spending money kind of here, there and somewhere else without any sense of priority. So we brought in a system whereby if it was more than $50,000 and it wasn't urgent, then we would have a quarterly review of proposals and then prioritise from that. But there have been so many exceptions to the rule that I think we ended up forgetting about it. And no one, you know, there's no one but me to remind us. So I must say it's not the way to go, but to be fair, what perhaps makes an exception of these matters is that council has made a decision to support these projects subject to state funding, but that state funding hasn't been forthcoming. So each one has been a question of how to fill the gap or abandon the project. Councillor Hull, I might have been, you know, stealing your thunder there. Do you want to just respond to those remarks from the Chair?
Well, you're absolutely correct. But interestingly enough, we actually do have money on the table for Moreno Community Hall. It's not much, but, you know, it's something. And you may well ask the question, why didn't they get the grants? Like, obviously, other agencies have had a look at this as well and thought, no, it's not really stacking up. But for the sake of $110,000, $110 a year, that's $8,250 for their current membership, was about 75 people. If they waived that, they'd have a bit of sympathy from me to get a whole lot more money, because then it would be truly a public golf course.
I was just asking you to respond to the Mayor's comments, but without repeating yourself necessarily.
But Mr. Mayor, I think the point that you were trying to make is we only have so much money. Come to us with the priority projects that you really want to get done that will stack up, and maybe get those over the line. But tonight, like I said, I haven't made it up. It's $551,000.
Yeah, okay, no, we're repeating things now. Councillor Valescu had a question.
Look, I got a question and I'll speak. First of all, I'll start with a question, if that's not in my time, hopefully. I was just wondering, is there any likelihood that the more money will be needed for the build? Yeah, is the costing pretty firm?
So we undertook RLB to do a QS on the products. They estimated a figure around about $230 to $240. We've actually put a very, very heavy contingency of around about 25% on that figure to make the $300,000.
Look,
I just want to follow up with a question there too, and possibly it should be part of the motion. We've got in the motion notes that any project cost overruns will be at the club's expense, but should we also not have notes that any benefit from underspending will be to the benefit of council?
No.
Up to $115,000. So that resolves that. Okay, thanks. Just checking. Ms Dixon's got some more information.
Through the Chair, I also just want to clarify that this work is around the clubroom facilities as well. There is other infrastructure on the site that will need to come to Council in future reports as well. So there's a car parking ceiling, which was prioritised to undertake that work, but we actually postponed it because of this project as well, so that will need to come to Council for consideration. And further down the track, irrigation for the greens, will also need to come to Council.
It's a long way from Oakland's wetlands, isn't it? Councillor Valescu, keep going.
Yeah, look, I think we need to look at the variety of different sports facilities we offer. And I think to make an assumption that anything to do with golf is, a toffee or it is exclusive, I think isn't really taking our role seriously. We need to look at each site on its merit. $110 is a very modest membership fee. We were told that almost all of it is to do with insurances. And also some admin. So I don't think that's an issue. We are aware that some fees cost, almost $7,000 around the place. So, but I think what my concern is that what's coming to the debate is that we're looking at, you know, how much is being spent in each area. And I think we really need to look back and look at the services we're providing for the community. Golf's not a sport that I play, but then we look at tennis clubs. They often have quite a low membership because of the nature of the sport, and some tennis clubs may be comparable, and we do spend money on those as well. And their facilities may not be as available to members of the public, and also, you know, being able to amuse yourself playing golf for, you know, under $40, including the course and hire, is actually quite an affordable activity compared to other activities as well. So I just think we need to step back. Ideally, this could have come through another way, but the elected member saw some urgency in bringing it forward in this way. And maybe that's a lesson to take in the future, that perhaps this could have a bit more discussion with staff to see whether it can come part through a report process, so then any concerns that may be raised could be dealt with. But I'm happy to support this. The fact that we've already committed some money and we're looking to get other money as well, and I am aware also, and sometimes maybe that's why we have to speed things up, is that sometimes delaying these decisions can delay it quite a bit and have an impact on the activities of the sporting clubs.
Yes, I must say the membership fees are, well, the casual playing fees are pretty similar to what I pay at my golf course, the putt-putt down at West Beach, quite similar. Councillor, now we've had speakers for, against and for. Is there a speaker against?
Procedural.
Procedural motion.
I move an adjournment till March.
Well, I don't know that we can, Councillor. I'm not sure if that's... I'll just check with Ms McKenzie if that's acceptable, but we've actually got a procedural resolution that we continue this meeting until we finish this item. All right. I'm advised that you can still subsequently move an adjournment motion, notwithstanding.
I'll move an adjournment to March. The reason I'm doing this is because I had an example in my ward briefing this afternoon where I suggested that because the tennis courts weren't funded, that we wait a year. I don't see that this is time imperative. We haven't discussed it at an elected members forum. We haven't put it in proportion with the other things that we are prioritising around the city, and we are starting something new that every time we're not funded for what we apply for, we dig in our
order
pocket.
Order. The member's debating the motion, not the motion to adjourn. Is there a seconder for an adjournment? No, Councillor Hull's already spoken. Is there anyone who hasn't spoken who wants to second an adjournment? Councillor Hutchinson. I'll put a procedural motion. I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? The motion is defeated. We continue. So let's wrap this up tonight. It's not even 10 o'clock, people. Come on. Anyone who hasn't spoken may speak, and I'm looking for anyone who is speaking against the motion. We just had a speaker in favour. A question from Councillor Hutchinson.
A question to the staff, through the Chair. What proportion of the facility has been earmarked for public use versus club use?
Through the Chair, through all these upgrades that we've been going through, Edwardstown, Morpheville, Mitchell Park, we're actually largely changing them from sporting clubs into the community clubs. So the use between the sporting clubs and potential use by the community is exactly 50-50.
Coexisting.
Coexisting.
Mm. Any other questions or speakers against? Councillor Pryor.
Can I just clarify that, so as a member of the public, someone can walk into the golf club whenever they want and play golf or have a drink or, assuming it's open, or buy some tartan pants.
Assuming the green is free.
That's correct. Marion Golf Club course is one of the few that don't require you to have a tee time, that you can literally just rock up and play.
Councillor Pfeiffer?
Just picking up in the relation to the answer to Councillor Hutchinson's question before, though, and through the Chair, with the other facilities, especially Edwardstown, we've changed the constitution to turn it into a community-based organisation as opposed to a sporting club effectively owning and operating its own body. Like, is that therefore part of the plan here with the golf club to turn it into a community-based board? It doesn't seem. Yeah, so it's the same as the old style model, not the new. So I think it's a little bit erroneous to possibly say that it's a community based. It's a community based. We're turning it into a community based organisation.
There's no question it's different to those other examples that Mr O'Hanlon gave, because they are places where the community could come and book a function or something like that, feel welcome coming and having a drink. But there's no reason why the same thing couldn't happen here. The distinction probably is that it's a single sport facility, whereas those other venues have a multitude of users. I mean, I know what you're saying. It's not going to be like the Hallett, the local Merino drinking hole necessarily, but it could be. If there are no more speakers against, then I'll ask the mover to speak in reply. Close the debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just briefly, just to echo Councillor Pryor's point of view, a membership fee is nothing to do with going there and having a game of golf. It's open to all of us. I have visited the club. I don't play golf, but it is mainly the membership is mainly seniors. It's a very popular game with older residents. They used to have a club room that was more of a community facility, which was rented out for events. Is what their proposal is to attach it to the pro shop, which is already a open public facility, and make it a completely open, accessible facility 100% of the time. But they will use it as their meeting room as well in evenings, or it will be open to people to go and have a drink in evenings. As far as what they're committing, $70,000 to a $230,000 building extension is very minimal. If you look at the projects we've already done in council, where most of the sporting clubs have actually contributed zero. They've got thousands of members and they contribute zero to those projects. They just rely on grant funding and council. So if we'd have got 70,000 from grant funding, we probably would have funded this straight away. But we didn't. We did half grant, half council, a third club. So we've carried on pushing, and Councillor Hull is right. Look, if there's a chance of getting money, I'll delay, and we have delayed, and it's not happened. And to answer Councillor Telfer, look, this is already an ongoing project. We've had it before council. We've discussed it. We've agreed to it. We've agreed to fund half already. We're 115 short to get over the line. And based on other projects of its kind, I believe we should just now finalise this as a legacy issue, move on. We've held up the car park because we don't want building work to happen on top of a brand new car park. So, yes, we have stopped that, and that can come later. It was on the car parking programme. But rightly, it's been held up because that wouldn't make sense.
And that was not 3 minutes, Councillor Hull. Well, get real, grow up. I'll put the vote. All those in favour? All those against? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Division, please.
Division is called. All those in favour, please stand in your place. They are Councillors Pfeiffer, Masika, Velescu, Clancy, Pryor, Hutchinson, Schilling, Duncan, Gard and Crossland. You may sit down. Those who are against are Councillors Hull and Telfer. The motion is carried. I declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much. We got through a lot. Thank you.